Ezekiel chapter 14. What a beautiful day. I didn't think it would. Did anybody else know it was supposed to rain tonight? Thank you. Or did you really? All right, was it supposed to rain? Yeah, I didn't know that. Ezekiel chapter 14, if you remember, we went through the first 11 verses last week, and it was the idols of the heart. The idols of the heart. And it was dealing with the elders. It was dealing with the leadership. Remember, back in Babylon, so, you know, you just got to always remember that. Let's read Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 12 through 23. Verse 12 through 23. I want you to see tonight, I put 21 on my header. 22 and 23 are the special verses, but Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 12 through 23, it says this: "The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man," again, you remember Sunday morning's message, it's not the Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of Man. That's the distinction. "Again, the word of the Lord came again to me, saying," this is to Ezekiel, "Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, though they were in it, though they were in the land, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord." You understand that you're going to see this four times. These men, now we're going to talk about these men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were so godly that the Lord mentions them and says, even if they're present, they would only be blessed by their own souls through the righteousness, and we'll talk about that. Verse 15, "And if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate." Verse 17, "Or if I bring a sword upon that land, and say, Sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land, or pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Verse 21, "For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord." The title of the message tonight is, "What can deliver us from judgment?" Should be a question mark after that. But my secretary is horrendous, and that is me. So what can deliver us from judgment? I want you to see the first thought tonight. The land will be desolate. Do you see that? I want you to see that in verse 16. I want you to see that where it says, "Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate." And I want you to look at verse 13. "Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously." Now, I mentioned this last week, but I want you to see the scriptures tonight. I want you to understand why God is speaking about the land. I mean, the land in and of itself can't sin, but we can lead the land and use the land sinfully against what God has commanded. And that's what the Bible's speaking of here. That's what the Lord's speaking of here. I want you to see these verses, and you can tell me. Can you all see that okay? Can you see that okay? All right, and just if it's too small a font, then you can tell me for future reference, but that's about as small as I'll get. Any smaller would be tough. So what about our elderly people? Stephen Schultz, can you? I'm just kidding. What's that? Any smaller would be tough. He's in the back row. Look at Leviticus chapter 25. The Lord says here, speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. It's interesting. He's saying, then shall the land keep a Sabbath. Well, the way the land keeps a Sabbath is by our obedience to God, right? Then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years shalt thou sow thy field, and 6 years shalt thou prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. Now, it's interesting. I'm not suggesting today that we have to do that. I mean, I think there would be, and you see that. You ever see a farmland and it's just growing and they're following this principle. But I think it was particularly for the Jews, and we need to think about this. It would be a year where they would have to greatly depend on God in that sixth year, would they not? And there was some dependence on God that God would give a great enough bounty and harvest in that sixth year that they would let the land rest and they would trust the Lord for that. But no matter what, obey the Lord. It says here in Leviticus 26, he says, and I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you. You must understand, this is about 800 years before he does this. Okay, give or take. I know some of you scholars are back there going, no, it's... And I will scatter you among the heathen, and I will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwell upon it. The Lord spoke well in advance that says, if you don't listen to me, then you're going to be in the hands of your enemies, and the land will rest. Look, if you will, just to a few other passages. I think it's worth us just noting that what the Lord does is he does exactly as he said. And you and I need to take heed to that. When God speaks in his word, it's not that he always speaks in our best interest for his glory. Probably not in that order. It's for his glory and our best interest secondarily. He says in 2 Chronicles 36:21, he said, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. 70 years, that's how long they were in bondage in Babylon. Look at Jeremiah 29. He says, for thus saith the Lord, verse 10, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me. Just make sure you know. You shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. I love Jeremiah 29. Here's why. There may very well be a day that we are caught up into the judgment of God of America. We must remember God's promises that he cares for us. There were magnificent people. Do you find it interesting that one of the people mentioned, though Noah, Daniel, and Job, Daniel was a Babylonian captive. He was a Jewish young man that was a captive, and he served the Lord. We cannot, and I'm telling you, I worry about me, we cannot base our faithfulness on our circumstances. God is good to us. Recognize his goodness. And I want to be more positive and see the good and rejoice in the Lord and not always want what I don't have. I have to be careful of that as a pastor. I need to be thankful and know this. God has never let me down. God has always been good. And he will be good. My circumstances may not be what I'm hoping, but I want you to just go back to here. The land will be desolate. There was no option. For 490 years, they had not followed this principle. 70 times 7, they missed 70 Sabbaths. God said, the land will rest. And when you see in Ezekiel 14 how desolate the land is. Beasts will come in, and you've seen it talked about, the desolation. Even in Jeremiah, you've seen it overwhelmingly in Ezekiel. I want you just to understand that's what the Lord's talking about. Now, I want you to understand this principle. I want you to see this. God blesses because of the faithfulness of others. And I'm going to show you some scriptures. And I'm encouraged by this, but what God's going to say, and we're going to see in my third point tonight, but not now. I never want you to forget that principle. See, because the Jews thought, Abraham's our father. God won't do this because of David. God won't do this because of Noah, Daniel, and Job, maybe. Maybe those were the three that were spoken of, but God spoke of them, and so we should just learn a little bit about them. But it is a truth of God's word. It is a truth. God says, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. I'm telling you, you've heard me say this before. It's been a while. I haven't worked for income for a long time. But I always knew this. Whenever I was given a new assignment, I thought, man, you are blessed for several reasons. One, I bring the Lord with me, and the Lord oozes, and good things are going to happen because God loves me. But I also carry the gospel. Everywhere you go, you should expect blessings to follow you. You should expect people to be blessed because they're around you. Not because of you, but because of Christ who's in you. And that principle is true. I want you to just to see some verses. In fact, I want you just to go to this. I want you to see a familiar passage, but turn back to Genesis chapter 18. I didn't want to put it on the screen because there was too many verses. Genesis chapter 18, a very familiar passage, but I want you to be reminded of this principle. And so you'll see this principle that Abraham knew enough about to have this discussion that's familiar, but for some of you it may not be. Just so you know, I want you to enjoy familiar passages because allow me to let everybody catch up. You follow me? Not everybody knows the Bible. Genesis chapter 18, verse 22, this is Abraham having a discussion with the Lord about not destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 18, verse 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And do you know what Abraham knew? What did Abraham know? He wouldn't. And God even validates that in our passage tonight in Ezekiel 14. He says, everybody else will be destroyed except Noah, Daniel, and Job. Their souls will be rescued because of their righteousness. I want you to know this, though. Remember the title of my message, What Can Deliver Us From Judgment? Righteousness. When it said their righteousness, it was their righteousness in Christ. It's the only way. I want you to know that's the only way we'll be rescued from judgment, is the righteousness of Christ. I don't think I'll have enough time tonight, but I would love you. You should go and you should just, you should love Romans chapter 4. It's the great chapter on the imputation of Christ's righteousness into you. When you believe, it is deposited into you and it'll never be withdrawn. I mean, it is so beautiful. It's so amazing. He withdraws your sin and deposits his righteousness. That's the word impute, deposits. It's a financial term. And it's amazing. And Noah, Daniel, and Job had the righteousness of Christ. But look at Genesis chapter 18. I got to stop preaching messages within a message, verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And Abraham knew he won't. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner. He knows the Lord, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Don't you love when you know the Lord and you can have this kind of conversation? The Lord didn't say, stop talking to me that way. The Lord said, and the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. You know what he said? You're right, Abraham. And Abraham, this is just a crazy conversation. Abraham, he wasn't good with numbers. Most preachers aren't. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have, am I at verse 27? And sometimes when I print this out. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have spoken, taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. See, Abraham understood who he was and who God was. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous, so 45. Will thou destroy all the city for lack of five? And he said, if I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. And he spake again unto him yet again. I just love this. And he said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. As soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his place. Now, I love what I think is Abraham's motive. You all would know that know the story. What's Abraham's motive? His nephew Lot. And it was beyond Lot. Abraham was pretty certain most of his family was lost. Abraham understood this. God, if you destroy this city, they're going to go to hell. And he also understood how much the Lord loves the righteous. And you see, I want you to understand that. It is, we must always remember this. Do you see how much the Lord loves his children? It is, it's amazing. I want you to see this as well. The Bible uses these terms all the time in the scriptures. And God says, I won't do it for David's sake. Look at 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 4. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem? The Jews and Israel are still blessed to this day for David's sake. It's all for Christ's sake. 2 Kings 8:19. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David his servant's sake, as he promised to give him alway a light and to his children. Look at Isaiah 45:4. For Jacob my servant's sake, Jacob's name is changed to Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surname thee, though thou hast not known me. Bless them for Jacob's sake. Psalm 103, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness upon children's children. It's one of my new favorite verses. My grandkids. You see, I'm counting on the Lord to bless my grandkids, but I need to walk with him. Young man today, I love this. You know, it is so good. You need to interact with people. I need to interact with people. You know, I because it makes the Bible real to me. Young man today said, I've been trying. I've been trying to do what's right. I've been asking God. I've been asking God, oh, change me. Do this. Change me. He said, it ain't working. I said, well, there's this little thing called cooperating with God. I said, you just don't sit there and go, change me. I said, you know what to do, what's right. Do what's right. It is, let me tell you this. I'm living for the next generation. I'm living for this generation. And I know you care for that next generation, right? I think there's more stories than you haven't told me yet why they keep having Bible studies with us. Because I know why. When you go to be with the Lord, you want them to be saved too. And you understand this principle that the Lord does for the righteous sake. He blesses our children's children. You keep serving the Lord, not to manipulate him, but knowing this, he's never a liar. And I can't tell you what all that means. Because we're just about to get to the part that I told you this truth, that God blesses because of faithfulness of others, but not this time. So it's not even for Noah, Daniel, and Job, right? And so, sorry to burst your bubble, but we need to let God be God, right? God never makes a mistake. I will tell you, Steve and Marissa, they're discouraged recently. You need to just love them. You don't need to know why they're discouraged. And they have the same pastor, so you know probably there's a common denominator. But and I love Stephen, man. I'm telling you what, Stephen is like, whoa, Shakespeare sometimes. It's like, whoa. So he sent me a text today. I'm still reading it. I'll probably finish it Monday. And No, I love it. I mean that. You know I love it. And he poured his heart out in that text. And he's just talking about just only the way Stephen Tillery can write. I just love it. I told you, I so regret that I deleted the first email he ever sent to me. I thought I was like in some medieval time or something. I was like, I called Deb over. I said, is this serious? And she said it was. And I said, okay, I won't joke back. And but I love it. He pours his heart out. And I mean, he poured his heart out in a text. And he was just speaking with just sorrow, right? But I told him this, and I wasn't trying to be trite. Your labor's not in vain. I don't know what that's going to do, but I want you to know this. Anything we do for the Lord, you just wait till you get to heaven, and you'll be blown away. It's not only not in vain, it's way better than you could ever imagine. I just want you to know that. It's not like the Lord goes, just gave you the bare minimum. God presses down, shakes together, and it runs over. And I know this, so I didn't think badly about you. I just know this. I love this. You honored me by just pouring your heart out. But I just know this. You keep laboring. You keep serving. And God will not be a liar. I don't know what all that means. That doesn't mean that everybody in my family is going to get saved. But I just tell you this. It's way better than you ever imagined. It's way better than you ever hoped. And so why I tell you today that, yeah, you know what? I say, you know what? God blesses the faithfulness of his children. But maybe not the way you think, because I'm telling you, old Noah, Daniel, and Job weren't going to stop God saying, the land's going to get rest. But you do love this. He said if Noah, Daniel, and Job were there, it'd be like, the only thing left would be Noah, Daniel, and Job. Isn't that kind of cool? Do you understand that's kind of a perspective of eternity? It's that the only ones that'll be left standing are those that are in Christ. And we'll be standing because of the righteousness of one person, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to look at these three guys. And here's what I want to do. That clock is right. I'm encouraged. I was like, there's no way that clock's right. It is. We're going to look at these three guys. And you know, I am optimistic. Maybe I will finish early. Probably not, but it is. That clock's encouraging tonight. I want us to look at, these are just some verses that I've picked out about each one of these men. And don't worry about men or women. It's just, what are some of the things that God highlights about Noah, Daniel, and Job that when God says, he's in essence saying this, we need to be like Christ, but if you want to pick a man to be like, how about one of these three? But he says this, look at, if you will, Genesis chapter 6. He says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, that's just a statement we could preach on, that grace. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What in the world does that mean? He found undeserved favor in the eyes of the Lord. It's so good, because you know what it's saying, Randall? Noah found something that he absolutely didn't deserve in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. The only way the Bible can call somebody just is they have been justified by the blood of Christ, by faith in the Messiah to come. Noah was a just man and perfect. He was mature in his generations, and Noah walked with God. If we were to use a term today, or if I were to use a term today, he walked with God, he abided in Christ. And you know how you abide in Christ? You keep his commandments. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. He walked with God. What an amazing statement. Do you walk with God? Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Those are amazing statements in the Bible. I will tell you this. You want to be like Noah? You want to walk with God. Look at Genesis 7:1. God says this. This is an amazing statement. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. So they get into the ark. For thee, and there's some inference there a little bit in the Hebrew, for thee alone. And you could kind of see that, because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord in Noah. And it appears that the Lord's even saying, and I'm just going to let your family tag along because of you, Noah. But maybe, that's not for sure. But for thee, almost for thee alone, but for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now, I want you to understand, the only way we're righteous is through Christ, but it's this. Righteous, that's good. You should see good works flowing from you, not in order to be saved, not in order to impress men, and that's a real challenge, as a result of being saved. And God said, I have seen. Has God seen your righteousness? I mean, you know what? Just the truth be known. I worry more what you think than I worry what God thinks. God sees way more than you do, and I worry more that you find out about it than that God already knows it. I'm messed up. But what the Lord said is, I have seen, wow, righteousness before me. Now look at this. You'll see this in Hebrews. You'll see this in Hebrews. By faith, Noah. I'm telling you, you cannot please God without faith. We've seen this in Matthew, right? It's believe and shun sin. Help thou mine unbelief and shun sin. Will we trust the Lord, right? Noah had faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet as seen, moved with fear. The Bible says he was afraid. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Same heir in Christ as you and I. Then look at this. I love that. Oops, excuse me. Look at 2 Peter 2:5. And God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. So if you just want to sum up Noah, Noah walked with God. If I were to use what I call New Testament terminology, it's all the same. I would say abide in Christ, abide in Christ. So he walked before his God, and God saw his righteousness. Faith. Let me just tell you, we've got to increase our faith in the Lord. And he was moved with fear. And then you know what? He preached the truth. He was a preacher of righteousness. Those are some of the... We don't know a ton about Noah. That's a lot to know about him, and God commends him. I'm telling you, those are some things that we'd say, I want to be a man that is righteous before the Lord. Now let's look at Daniel. Daniel may be, because see, I think there's some inference that Joseph, I struggle that Joseph married the priest's daughter. So I think he was unequally yoked, but maybe she got saved. I'll get in heaven. But the Bible doesn't say anything negative about Joseph either. But that one is my inferred thing. There's nothing about Daniel. Not one, you can't make up something. In fact, the lost people tried to find something bad about Daniel, and they said the only thing we could find, the only thing we get Daniel on is his faithfulness to his God. So Daniel is super unique. And here's what I want you to know this. So Daniel was young. He was a young man, right? I don't know. He was still, they could still mold him and develop him, and they wanted to take these young men, the bright and those young men that just had incredible potential, both intellectually and physically, and they were good-looking young men, good-looking young women, because Babylon, it was all the outside, wasn't it? And so they said, you, and then they would give them tests. You're smart, you're good-looking, and you look good. Daniel had all that, but Daniel didn't let it go to his head. Here's the key. Every single one of us, young people included, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now, he would not defile himself with the king's food, but here's the key. If you and I are going to live righteously, we must purpose in our heart. We must purpose in our heart. Daily. Daily, right? The Bible talks about believers fleeing sin. Do you understand that? Fleeing sin. I literally believe sometimes we should run. Joseph ran. Flee sin. You know, I mean, I've talked to so many young men about pornography and the struggles, and I've told them, I've said, man, you need to run out of that place that's just become a nightmare for you. And I tell them this, put your phone about a mile away when you go to bed. So that you have to go up, creak, 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 creak. The whole family here, what are you doing? Oh, I'm not doing that, I'm going back to bed. You know what? Wouldn't it be good that they just escape? God says, flee it sometimes. You know what? I want to do what's right, but it's this. Daniel purposed in his heart. We need a purpose in our heart. Sin will destroy you. Sin will destroy me. Sin destroys old men. Do you know that? I better purpose in my heart today. Today. I'm talking about these three guys. You want to be like these three guys? He said, I'm purposing in my heart. Here's what he did. He said, with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank, therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I'm telling you this. How many of you love steak? Steak is my favorite food. How many of you, steak's your favorite food? And Daniel said, I'm not eating steak. And Daniel said, I'm going on the Katie James diet. Pulse. I mean, you know why I have a vegetable tray out there? It's for Katie James. Because I know this, I am disappointing her so greatly with everything else I have on that table. And I said, this is my Katie sacrifice. And it's okay. I'm crossing the line. Share your testimony. I figure you can handle it. And but I'm happy. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for your kale, Stephen. You know, and it's all good. It's all good, right? But, I mean, the more fat grams, the more juicy, right? I mean, we talked about Samuel's sons. They knew. They weren't going for the broccoli. And but Daniel gave all that up. You talk about the best of the best. He was going to eat of the king's food. I'm telling you, do you think most of the slave boys ate of the king's food? Only the special ones, Clay. Only the super bright ones. What's crazy is, how many of them stood for God? We only know of four. Only four. I trust there were more. And I trust that there were more. And you know why I think there were more? Ezekiel mentions Daniel. They knew about Daniel. They knew about Daniel. I don't think they were like, who? Who? They knew about Daniel. You talk about current events. Ezekiel mentions Daniel. Isn't that really cool what the Lord does? It's like Noah. Right? I mentioned Noah. You guys are like, oh, wow, Noah. I mentioned all these guys. You're like that. But I'm just telling you this. We want to honor Christ. Purpose in your heart. You know this? I'm going to tell you this. Don't ever give in to sin. How about purposing in your heart and say, God, I can't do without you. But today, I want a purpose in my heart. I'm going to submit to you again. I'm going to do what's right. You can't change yesterday, can you? I would change yesterday. Anybody else change yesterday? I would. You give me 5 minutes and I can break it up into seconds, man, and my life will be different. I can't do that, can I? Purpose in our heart, Daniel did. Now look at this. Daniel 1, verse 12. Daniel says this to the prince of the eunuchs. He says, prove thy servants. Daniel was willing to take a risk for God. He says, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. You know what? He said, God, I don't know how much time I'm giving you, 10 days to help us look different. He says, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat, because they knew pulse is a dud. No, I'm just kidding. It's like, you know, give me some Sour Patch Kids. And no, pulse is good. I'm just kidding. I'm going to get in trouble here. I'm pushing it. And prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, to deal with thy servants. You understand why the king fed all the young people that he had hopes of doing great things for him? Because they were convinced that was the best diet. It may have been. But God's the best God, and the only God. And Daniel says, hey, prove me. And man, we'll get to Daniel eventually. But they did, and you know what? You know what I love? In Daniel 1, I mean, the prince of the eunuchs said, whoa. And they were 10 times better. 10 times better. You see, Daniel purposed in his heart, and he said this, I'm going to trust God. And he says, you know what? I'm willing to be put on the line. And I'll tell you this, he's had such a testimony that you understand this. If that prince of the eunuchs was caught, he would lose his life as well. But Daniel had such a testimony with him that the prince of the eunuchs says, okay, Daniel, 10 days. And God blessed. Now look at this verse here. I want you to see this. Daniel 6:5. Then said these men, they couldn't find anything about Daniel. And so this is where, you know, they get Daniel, and they said, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They said, the only thing is, who does that sound like? Who does that sound like they're talking about? Jesus. Because they said, oh, Jesus, we know he's going to be compassionate. We're going to use his compassion against him. They bring the woman in adultery. And they're like, ha, 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 the law says that we should stone her. We gotcha. And Jesus, Oh, I can't wait to find out what he's writing on the ground. Get in heaven. And see, they tried to use the law of God against Jesus. They had to use the law of Daniel's God against him. Is that a testimony? If someone put a private eye in your life, would they have to use the law of God against you, or it'd be like, whoa? What's your life like publicly, privately? If your life was spied out, see, all I'm telling you is, I will tell you this. That's why Daniel was different. You understand why Daniel might be mentioned now? Daniel, I'll tell you, he purposed in his heart. Daniel said, you know what, God? I believe you. And I think he was like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, but if not, we will not bow. And then I want you to see this last verse with Daniel. Look at this. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, so these bad guys, they said, hey, you can't pray to ask any petition but of the God of Darius. And now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You know, you learn about this. Daniel was a man of prayer. I'll tell you, when you read books, pay attention. Jesus, he was a man of prayer. I'm telling you, I missed it, but I'm beginning to get it. I hope I don't forget it. It's not manipulating God. I'll tell you this. I'm convinced I need to spend more time on my knees. Daniel just kept doing what he was always doing. Now, I'm just telling you this. How many of you ever thought this about Daniel? I don't think it would have been sinful if Daniel closed the shutters. I would have. How many of you think it would have been sinful if Daniel closed the shutters? Wrong? No, I'm just kidding. But it's we can have a difference of opinion, right? But I'll tell you that what he did was he said, God, I've been public about my faith so far. I'm not going to hide now. He's willing to die over it. And what he did is he just kept doing what he was doing. And you know what? He was thrown in the lion's den. And you know the rest of the story. If you don't, you need to go find the rest of the story. Daniel purposed in his heart. Now you're seeing Noah, Daniel, now Job. Nobody wants to be Job. I mean, Daniel in the lion's den. It's just like, how far is the pit down, right? That soft landing on one of the lions. And but Job, here's what the Bible says about Job. Stephen's favorite book. Right? It is amazing. I should let you come and sub here for these next few minutes. Job 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright believer. When you see these terms, you got to understand, the only way that God would ever use these terms is you must be born again. You must have the righteousness of the Messiah, of the promised one. And so it says this, that he was perfect and upright and one that feared God. You see a theme? Noah was moved with fear. And eschewed evil, and he pushed it, he resisted it, he wanted nothing to do with it, and he understood this, what will destroy my life is evil, and he just constantly resisted it and pushed it away. And so, you know, the devil came, and the devil got permission from God to attack Job in every way imaginable. First, his children were killed. And then the livestock were killed. All his wealth was taken. His children were taken. His wealth was taken. And then the devil just gave him boils upon his body. And he would take basically pottery. And whoosh. How many of you ever had a boil? Who's ever had a boil? I've heard about it. Rough. Was it a rough one? Yeah, I mean, I'm not. Tell us about it. No, I'm just. But they're rough, right? You had one. Imagine being covered from head. The toe. So Job went through it, but look what the Bible says about Job. It's Job says this and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Whew. Peter talks about this a ton, about suffering. When you've done right. Now look at Job chapter 2, verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? This is God speaking. This is why I like this verse. That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, you see the theme, and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him, to destroy him without cause. Again, see, God doesn't deny that it's God that allowed it. Job knew it too. But Job did not lose his integrity. And then finally, he's speaking to his wife, who said, curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job ultimately sinned. He's a man. At first he didn't sin. Then he bridled his tongue. We're seeing that in James. We'll see it more in James chapter 3. And he didn't sin with his heart. Didn't charge God foolishly. Didn't sin with his lips. Didn't sin with his tongue. Do you see why God highlights these men? It wasn't just random. I think it's because God's saying this. You want to be like one of these people I write about? How about Noah, Daniel, and Job? Those would be a great starting point. You see what I love about the Bible? And see, that's why I love the Old Testament. You see, the Old Testament, if you ask me, I think for preachers, teachers, and you know I believe in the Old Testament. We do a two-thirds, one-third mix. But the Old Testament is the illustration of God's truth. If you're a preacher, if you're a teacher, and you're like, I'd like an illustration of this. Well, you've got 39 books that give you a lot of illustrations of what God is teaching. And Noah, Daniel, and Job were godly men that God loved. But I want you to show that this, only God can save us from judgment. I want you to look at verse 22 and 23. I want you to see this. So, remember the title of my message was, who can deliver us from judgment? Only the righteousness of Christ. Look at verse 22. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth. So God talks about Daniel, Noah, Daniel, and Job not keeping God from, not keeping the land from resting. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and you shall see their way and their doings, and you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have done, that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. It is this: God will save a remnant. Now, I mentioned this last week. I want you to understand this. You will be comforted. Before that verse, were any of you comforted? How many of you have just like, Ezekiel, man, I leave just comforted. Oh man, I can't wait to hear about God's slaughter this week. Right? I'm comforted. Are you comforted with it? But what God said is this: you'll be comforted when you see the end result of my judgment come upon this remnant, and some of them will be your grandchildren. Some of them will be your children. And you know what you'll say? Blessed be the Lord. I want to tell you, let's just trust in the Lord. Your labor's not in vain. You know, I mentioned my sister recently. She called me today. She said, hey, Mr. Loser brother. And I told you, she asked me that terrible question. You know, if I died, would you be sad? And she said, hey, I figured I'd call you since you won't call me. And she was super nice. I know that sounds a terrible way to start a phone conversation, but I told her, I said, you know what? I said, I'm so thankful you're not mad. I said, she's on my calendar now. And she knows it too, so I'm probably in trouble. But I said, you're not mad. And I said, I want you to know I love you. And I didn't say this today because I wanted to say, and I'll come over if you'll let me have a Bible study. But I didn't say that. But God's opening a door for my sister. My sister's had a stroke. She's 50, multiple strokes. She's 58 years old. And she's lost. And I'm so thankful she called me. You know why she called me? Because God's that good. And I need to love my sister. You know, I'm going to just tell you this. It's I live like my labor's in vain. I move on. I love my sister, but you know what I decided? I can't help her. She knows what I believe. I've tried it so many times. And you know what God told me? I mean, my sister's chasing me. And she knows what we're going to talk about. That's the goodness of God. You know what I was leaving? I was living like my labor was in vain, wasn't it? And so you know what I do, Stephen? I don't do this consciously, but God's revealed it to me. I make decisions, and I think we ought to have discernment. I can't help her anymore. I'm gonna invest my time in the people that I can help. I'm a little weird that I don't lean toward family, but I think I lean away from family. You see, that's my issue. I think some people are all family, 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 but I can be almost the opposite. Well, you know, y'all hate me, don't let the door hit you. And it's not good. But God loves my family. And he reminded me today, and it was after I sent you that text. And this is what my burden was. I had determined my labor was in vain. You see, I don't articulate it that way, right? Because I know it's wrong. But I lived it, right? I want you to understand this. Your labor is not in vain. There is a remnant. There is a remnant. God will use you. The gospel is not wasted. His word won't go out void. And you don't know how he's going to bless. Final thing I want you to see. I want you to see this in verse 23. And they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. There are sad verses for me in the Bible. This is one of them. I don't know why. You know, when God says, you shall know that I have done it without cause. You know why? Because everybody's accusing him. You've done it without cause. I hate it when God has to say these things. I've done it with cause, and you'll see. It's not like the Lord's defending himself. I'm not suggesting that. But isn't it sad that God has to say, then you'll see I've done it with cause. I have not done it without cause, you know, double negative. I want you to understand this. I want to remember this. You see, when do we forget this? When trouble comes, we think, what in the world? I don't want him to have to say, Steve, I'll show you I haven't done it without cause. I don't want the Lord to have to say that. I ought to be mature enough. I've been a Christian for almost 50 years. A year from this August, I'll be a 50-year-old Christian. I ought not to have the Lord say, Steve, you'll see, I haven't done it without cause. Everything he does is good, holy, and righteous. Oh, that we would remember that. Oh, that we would remember that.